I call this meeting of the Taxes Committee to order. We'll begin today with a quick trip down memory lane to the minutes from our last meeting from last session. Property Taxes Vice Chair Lee, do I have a motion to approve the minutes from the April 20th, 2023 meeting?
I move to approve the minutes from April 20th, 2023.
Any discussion? All right, hearing none, all those in favor of approving the minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Motion carries.
Just getting used to that.
All right. We've got one bill on the agenda today, members. That is House File 2757. Chair Gomez moves that House File 2757 be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. Chair Gomez, I understand you have an author's amendment. Would you like to move that before presenting your bill?
Yes, please, Mr. Chair.
All right. Chair Gomez moves the amendment coded DE3. Chair Gomez, would you like to describe the amendment?
I can just describe the bill. So the DE3, well, can we add the author's amendment first?
Yep.
Is that okay?
Yes. So we also have an A1 author's amendment. This A1 author's amendment is a technical amendment. So Chair Gomez moves the amendment coded A1. Any discussion on the A1 amendment to the DE3 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor of the A1 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the amendment is adopted. All right, now to the DE3 amended by the A1. Chair Gomez.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. When we're doing anything complex, we always have Rep. Norris step in as chair, apparently. We have some wonderful new staff joining our team on taxes, and we'll kind of, you know, do our more regular order of business opening on Thursday and have you guys kind of introduce yourselves. But for now, we're just going to move straight to the one bill we have in front of us. So the DE32 House File 2757, as amended by the A1, makes three changes to the 2023 tax bill. First, it updates the standard deduction amounts in statute to reflect inflation adjustments that have taken place since 2019. Our tax bill inadvertently erased 4 years of inflation for tax year 2024. And so this first item is a technical fix to ensure that the standard deductions works as it should and as it was intended for our taxpayers. Second, it aligns the definition of tribal nation in the Chair Howard's local housing aid that was included in the tax bill last year to the definition that we worked with tribal governments to develop for the tribal nation aid. It was really just a straight up like drafting error, like we had the wrong version in the final bill that was passed. The third item in the bill, the corrections bill, amends the local sales tax authorization for the Beltrami County local sales tax that we passed last year to kind of retroactively allow the tax to be approved at a special election that was held on November 7th, 2023, rather than only a general election, as it says in statute. So that's the bill, Mr. Chair, and would stand for any questions or anything else. And I have a testifier, of course, when you're ready for that.
Great. Thanks, Chair Gomez. So, members, we do have a couple of testifiers. We'll have the testifiers go first. Then we'll open it up for questions and discussion. I know there's also another amendment in the packet. But first, we'll go to our testifiers. And the first one is Commissioner Marquardt. Commissioner Marquardt, it's great to see you. Welcome back to the Taxes Committee.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. I'm Paul Marquardt, Commissioner, Department of Revenue, and welcome back, everyone, for a new session. And thank you for, Madam Chair, for considering this bill to get a quick fix on the standard deduction oversight that occurred last year. And so, as mentioned in your packets there, basically what happened was a drafting error on not kind of getting subdivision 6 of the bill and matching it up with subdivisions 1, 2, and 3, which were not actually inside that Chapter 2064. And so basically what's happening, instead of moving ahead in 2024, the inflation of the standard deduction that's inflated with the cost of living, the chained CPI. And so instead of going off of 2023, it goes back to the numbers from 2019. So in short, if you're a married joint filer, you're going to lose about $3,400 of deductible income. So depending on what your marginal rate is, determines how much it would actually cost. So if you're at a 5.35% rate, it'd be about $185 extra if this was not corrected, all the way to, if you're 9.85%, it'd be $340. And so, you know, when you look in the language, it's a little itty-bitty few words, but the cost is pretty significant, probably about $350 million a year. So if we don't fix this, a couple things would occur. Number one, I know MMB, in looking ahead to the February forecast, says if this isn't taken care of by February 22nd, it then would be included in the February forecast. And then the second thing would be, if it wasn't corrected, we would need to adjust the withholding tables for people in tax year 2024. And according to statute, the commissioner has a lot of leeway on setting those withholding tables. And the withholding tables right now are set as if this was in law already. So, you know, if you pass that, there's no adjustments that have to be needed. If it's not adjusted or not fixed at this time, we'd have to go back and change those withholding tables. So, again, Madam Chair and members, appreciate very, very much you acting on this so quickly. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Marquardt. We have one more testifier who signed up to testify in advance. It's Beth Cadoon from the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. Please go ahead and step forward and state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Beth Cadoon. I represent the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. I'm here testifying regarding a drafting error for that is not included in this bill regarding the net operating loss effective date. We would urge you to include this fix as well, as it also impacts the current tax filing season. It'll be raising taxes on certain taxpayers with business losses, and was also a fix that was agreed to by both tax chairs. The NOL provision was one of the nearly $600 million business tax increases that was included in the 2023 Tax Conference Committee in the last week of session. Minnesotans will now be deviating from the federal cap of 80%. And moving to a 70% cap, which will require taxpayers in Minnesota with a loss to add back income for the Minnesota income taxes. The conference committee agreement had an effective date of tax year 2024, which at least gave taxpayers a little more notice and planning time. However, the bill language was had the date of tax year 2023. NOL carry forward deduction is important because business profitability can vary greatly over time for some businesses. This is especially true for startup companies and those in cyclical industries. A letter of intent was sent in June by the tax chairs stating that they would fix the NOL drafting error at the earliest possible opportunity. A notification was sent out by the Department of Revenue to taxpayers, and this information is still on the Department of Revenue's website. We would urge you to include the NOL tax fix in this tax bill. Taxpayers would have in good faith relied on that letter of intent from the tax chairs that this fix would be passed early in session, and that would be important so they would not have a $15 million tax hit this tax filing season. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Before we go to member questions and discussion, any other members of the public who wish to testify? All right. Seeing none, Lee Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Chair Gomez, for putting this together and including me in the discussions on this. I do appreciate that. And Commissioner Marquardt, this is something that hit us last June. It kind of sideswiped us a bit, and my reaction was, well, let's just get it fixed. That's what I think we need to do, and that's what we're doing here today. partially. The Beltrami County, fine. The reservations, fine. The standard deduction, fine. But, and we're not on the amendment yet, but we'll be having the A2 amendment here that fixes the other thing that was promised to be fixed here. So at this point, until I get into my amendment, I just want to thank you, Chair Gomez, for your efforts on this, and Commissioner Marquardt for your efforts on this. And I still think there's a way we can live up to what we said we would do and do it as soon as we possibly can. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Lee Davids. Representative Swedzinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just a general question. It's my understanding that potentially even 15 to 20% of tax filings already occurred for the year. Don't you think it's a little bit, while these notices are currently already on the books and on the websites, in letters of intent, that it's kind of pulling the rug out from underneath businesses' feet, you know, as they're beginning the process of working with their tax compliance, that we're changing this and it really, you know, going to cost them $15 million right off the bat when they've already started to file?
Chair Gomez.
Thank you, Chair Norris, and I'll allow the commissioner to say other things if he'd like. But just, you know, this tax filing, as you said, has already started, and so a change to this would necessitate filing amended returns, and that is the case whether we do it today or whether we do it in a couple of months. And so, you know, I definitely understand the you know, the desire. I think this was truly an error in the bill, but there is just a fiscal impact to, you know, it's a cost to the state of $15 million. And so it kind of has to, we have talked about it, and it should be in sort of consideration with the rest of the budget. And it should be, you know, after the kind of February forecast, and we know more where we're sitting fiscally. But you know, from a sort of mechanical perspective, it's like, again, whether we pass it in 1 week or in a couple of months, people will have to amend their returns. But
anything further, Commissioner Marquardt?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Swedzinski, and Madam Chair is exactly right. So last year, the chairs sent a letter to myself and MMB Commissioner Showalter. And it said basically in there, we would like to do this quickly, but we're also asking you to just go along with the intent of what we tried to do rather than the law. The Department of Revenue said we're not going to go with the intent. Because it starts in tax year 23, we need to go with the law. So kind of their request to do it quickly was based on the Department of Revenue to go with the intent, because then we don't have it on the books and we really would need to move quickly. So based on the letter and based on our actions, the urgency isn't quite the same because we're following the law starting in tax year 23. So as the Madam Chair said, right now, whether or not it's passed today or another or later down the road, there still would be amended returns. Will there be probably more amended returns the longer we wait? Yes, absolutely. But also, typically, you know, Governor Walz has talked about when the November forecast came out, he talked about we need to be measured and we need to be cautious. And typically, we don't pass spending items prior to at least the February forecast, or usually until after the governor's supplemental budget. And that's, I think what the governor would like is, you know, to wait at least until the February forecast before we have spending items.
Representative Swedzinski.
Thank you, Chair Norton. You know, it's my understanding, you know, one of the impetuses that you're trying to get this done so quickly is that you're concerned that how it will affect the February forecast that would potentially come out. But it's my understanding that because this was rule of law and we're not following it necessarily intent or whatever, because the department must follow law, not how legislators would like to feel about something, that this is already baked into the cake. with the November. So the idea, the argument to say that we need to do this for the February forecast, but doesn't affect it, it's already baked in the cake. So the $2.5 billion surplus that we're currently seeing on the books here in Minnesota, this, that $15 million has already essentially been paid for with the forecast that's already out there. And, you know, it's a challenging business environment. And to say, well, we're just going to have a lot of folks go back to their tax preparers and spend a bunch more money and have their staff people rework the books to affect this change, you know, this isn't, it's not like this is just the first thing that we're looking at from an attack on business and the cost of doing business here in Minnesota. We've got many other bills that are taking place, many other obstacles that we've put in the front of businesses, many more wedges that we've driven between employees and employers with the mandates that we're putting on them. And this is just one more nail in the bottom of the shoe when it comes to sidestepping and trying to navigate, you know, the treacherous fields here of tax policy here in Minnesota. And, you know, I think there was a psychologist that said that sooner or later, if you have a young pup, and every time it comes to the dog dish to try to eat, and you whack it on the end of the nose, if you do that 50 times in a row, that dog will sooner or later stop coming to the food bowl and literally sit in the corner and starve to death. And if you continue to whack businesses on the end of the nose for 50 times and increase taxes, increase red tape, increase the ability to not just run their business and have a relationship with their employees that they want, and here's one more newspaper at the end of the nose of business, they're not going to invest. They're not going to look to grow jobs. They're not going to look to move their businesses and their office space down into downtown Minneapolis. They're going to look to do it other places. And here's an opportunity. Let's make good on that letter that was sent. I mean, let's do it in haste. You know, I understand the part of it, but let's not forget, there's a whole issue here. And to say this is good for one group but not the other, you know, I think, you know, we can do better than this. And, you know, I think we have some opportunity to do some good here on this first day of session. You know, we had an interesting game last night with the Super Bowl. It's not too late. It's not too late. So,
thank you, Representative Swedzinski. Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sorry, I'm going to switch around here. It's hard not to look at you. Nice to see you, Madam Chair. Nice to see you, Commissioner. So I just want to understand sort of what happened here a little better, because we have one error that is getting fixed and that was kept off the books, and another error that was in the books that's not getting fixed. And so, to me, we should be treating them equally. And it's concerning to me that the larger error was kept off the books, $350 million. Like, if one of our companies in our district kept something like that off their books and was audited, like, they'd probably go to jail. So I feel like, as a legislature, as the department, it's not okay to say on one hand we're not following the intent of the legislature on the small error, but we are following intent of the legislature and fixing it quick on the $350 million error. So if you could help me reconcile that, I would appreciate that.
Commissioner Marquardt.
Mr. Chair and Representative Robbins, no, that's an excellent question. So I think the main difference is that the standard deduction was not going to impact taxpayers till tax year 24, versus the other one that's 23. And so the one with the NOL that goes into effect in tax year 23, the commissioner doesn't have any leeway to tax that or not. But on the standard deduction, the big difference there would be, because it's moving forward, is ultimately changing the withholding tables as the year goes on. And there, the commissioner does have huge discretion on setting those tables. So I guess just the fact that even though we said we're going to go with the intent, there really wasn't any impact on taxpayers on the standard deduction where there would be if we were going with the intent versus the law on the one that the NOL, which took effect in tax year 2023. So I think that's probably the biggest reason. You know, certainly the standard deduction is a huge magnitude, you know, $350 million a year. On both the Department of Revenue website and the materials we sent out, we had the new standard deduction number in, 29,000, whatever that. But we also had a disclaimer pending legislation. I could read it to you, but it's something to that effect that we had a disclaimer in there also that it was pending legislation.
Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for that. I understand, but I think it's problematic that on the one hand we're following intent and, you know, changing the withholding tables before any legislation has passed and just saying this little disclaimer versus actually increasing taxes on taxpayers. So I'm not sure the difference you're describing is as real, and it's certainly impacting the businesses in our district. And I know we'll talk about it more when the amendment comes up, but I'm hoping that going forward when there are errors that we can have consistency on how we're managing. Not that there won't always be errors, we're all human, but, you know, I'm concerned about how this was handled. Thank you.
Representative Egbaje.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just ask, just so we're all clear about what we're talking about. We're still on the A2 or the A1 amendment, I believe. Is that correct? Yeah. The A1 amendment to the DE3 amendment.
Representative Egbaje and members, so we have adopted the A1 amendment to the DE. We are currently in discussion on the DE3 amendment.
Got it.
As amended by the A1.
I'm just wondering, considering where the conversation is headed, and I think it's a good conversation, if maybe we might want to take up the A2 amendment so we're all on the same page.
Lee Davids, you have the A2 amendment. Do you wish to move that A2 amendment at this point?
Thank you, Chair Norris. I'll move the A2 amendment.
All right. Representative or Lee Davids moves the amendment coded A2. This is an amendment to the DE3 amendment. Lee Davids, would you like to describe your amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would. What this amendment does is this basically helps us all keep our word here. We like I said, there's basically three parts we're looking at taking care of now. This would be the fourth part. And it's interesting to see the letter from June 27th of 2023. It should be in your packet. If you go to the last paragraph, it says, "We will pursue legislation at the earliest possible opportunity to correct the effective date for this provision." This is probably the earliest possible opportunity to correct it. So I'm a little confused here how this should be what we call in the insurance business a no-brainer. This is very simple. It has the legislature keeping their word. The letter dated June 27, 2023 from Chair Gomez and Senator Rest is very clear that they intend this to do this right away. So I'd have a question for the chair, Mr. Chair, as to what the chair's intention is at this point. If we don't fix it today, you know, and I heard something about a couple months, how hard will the chair push to get this provision adopted? Because I think the business community has really been left out in the cold here, and it's a simple fix. It's something we said we'd fix as a legislature, and I really think I'd like to hear from the chair as to what's the plan, and I should first ask, though, would the chair just consider this a friendly amendment? I mean, we're just doing what we said we would do.
Chair Gomez.
I don't know what a friendly amendment is, but we're not considering this a friendly amendment, I think, to the extent that such
well,
a thing
then,
exists.
Mr. Chair, she knows what it is.
Well, you're a friendly person, but I don't know about this amendment. So the letter was a request for the department to honor our intent the intent of our bill. I think, like, I agree with you. This, it was, you know, this is an error in the implementation date. They decided not to honor that request, which is what this letter is about. And so to me, sort of the, you know, kind of the last lines are like, well, we want you to do this, and if you do, then we're going to, like, immediately fix it. And but this, what has happened since then, the November forecast and other things changes that, because, you know, the commissioner and of revenue and MMB decided not to proceed as though, you know, kind of like to align their practices with the intent of the law that we passed. So, I mean, I guess if you ask what my plan is for pursuing this, it's that, you know, it's kind of going to go through the normal process, because the ship has sailed of preventing this from going into effect for this season of filing. So to me, that kind of changes the timeline and the urgency, as we were discussing earlier, because, you know, businesses and individuals who use or businesses will have to file amended returns. That's kind of like what we're looking at. And so now it makes sense to wait until we have a bigger picture of our fiscal situation before we proceed with it. But
Lee Davids.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and Madam Chair. I guess my question is, do you support fixing this at some point? Obviously not today. As my sixth grade teacher, Mrs. Blakesley, would say to me when I was acting out, she'd say, Gregory, today is not the day. Well, it may not be the day for this amendment, but that being said, there does come a day when it is the day. And I don't want to just put this, you know, sweep this under the rug and not see it again.
Chair Gomez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Davids. Yes, I support, we passed our bill. I support us staying true to the intent of our bill. So the answer is yes, I support this. Representative Lislegard is working with the chair and the other body to bring this forward. So we have our, you know, leaders of our tax committees in both bodies who are you know, lead sponsoring legislation on this. And so, yeah, I want us to honor our word 100%.
Lee Davids.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll allow, well, I can't allow anything. I'm not the chair. I understand my lot in life. That being said, I will just listen to the debate, and then we'll go from there. And I'd like to wrap it up, if I could, after the debate.
All right. Members, additional discussion on the A2 amendment to the DE3 amendment. I see Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Chair Gomez, I really appreciate that you want to honor the intent. So thank you for sharing that with us. I just want to point out for members, you know, how this net operating loss affects businesses. A lot of startups, a lot of small businesses are the ones who are facing this. And I know many of you, including myself, are coming to African American CEO Day and Entrepreneur Day on the Hill on Friday. I have several meetings lined up. And these are the businesses that take operating losses. It's because when you start a business, it doesn't always go great. And that's why the code is flexible, to allow you to carry over till you get on your feet, till you figure it out. And I just want us to understand the businesses that fixing this will help. $15 million is a hole in the budget, but it's already in the forecast. And the cost for these businesses of doing an amended return, we're acting like, oh, all they have to do is file an amended return. That's a time cost. It's an actual money cost to their businesses. They're already, many cases, struggling. So I just encourage us to get this done as we said we would right away, so that they can plan. Businesses need certainty. Like, that's the without which nothing. And we, by saying, oh, well, maybe we'll get it done in 2 months, maybe we'll get it done before the end of the session, that's just causing more problems for our entrepreneurs who really, really need this done. So I just encourage the committee to take this up today. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Robbins. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chair Gomez, I'm concerned here, and the whole standard deduction, the operating losses, all this stuff is things that we've talked about, that we've agreed to, and that need to be done for the state of Minnesota. But I have a real concern with the process in which we have gone through in order to get where we are sitting in these seats here today. We've had our commissioner talk about how his department followed the letter of the law, and they were not going to look at the intent because, legislators make mistakes. We have some staff mistakes that we're making. This stuff is what makes us all human, making mistakes. This is understandable. But my concern here is we have one mistake that found its way out of the estimates. So we haven't cooked the books on this one. We're building it into the cake with the operating losses. That's built into the cake. We cooked it. But then when we're talking about $350 million for standard deduction, we decided to omit those ingredients from our cake that we're baking here today. Now, first off, whose decision and whose authority was that? Who has the authority in the state of Minnesota to look at intent as opposed to actual law? And secondly, why in the world are we able to take the intent, $350 million out of our estimates, and then just say today $15 million, well, we baked that in the cake, and now we're not going to do this today. We're not going to abide by our agreement. Now, another question that I have is from everything that we saw, we couldn't find a letter that said we intend to remove the $350 million that we've baked into this cake. But we have a letter here that is signed, I assume this is your signature, that says we intend to remove this. So in one instance, we have what I assume to be a handshake agreement that is being followed by somebody, maybe it's Commissioner Showalter who's following a handshake agreement, as opposed to an actual, it appears to be your signature. I don't know. You haven't given me your autograph yet, but I'll ask for that later. I'm concerned here, and that's the entirety of this. Something seems rotten in the state of Minnesota.
Chair Gomez.
Chair Norris. Yep, that's my signature. whose authority? Well, it wasn't mine. Who decided, who was going to? Because as is reflected in the materials in front of you, if it was my decision, then we would have honored the intent of all the kind of errors that happened, as you generously pointed out, because we're all human and fallible and these things happen. What I would say is that, the commissioner talked about the impacts on the tax year and the discretion that he has, and the fact that, we didn't have to write a letter about the standard deduction because it wasn't like impacting filers starting, on January 31st. So that was like a discussion that, because it is for this tax year that we're in right now, that we didn't have to kind of try to appeal to the commissioner to use this authority, the commissioners, the commissioner of MMB and the commissioner of revenue, to use these authorities to kind of like move forward as though with the intent of our law that we passed last year. I just would say it's like that sort of is the whole of it from my perspective, is that, he talked about the withholding schedules and that he has a lot of discretion in terms of like, are you going to, for this tax year, make people withhold more money from their employees, make employers withhold more money? And we could, without a law change, proceed in that fashion, but it wasn't possible on this other issue. And I'm...
Commissioner, anything you'd like to add?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and Representative Olson. I mean, Chair Gomez hit that. I mean, I think the main deal is the year in which it went into effect. The NOL was tax year 23, which was right there, where with the standard deduction, and MMB, I know, is here too, if you want an explanation on why you know, they didn't include, why they included like it was law for standard deduction, not the other way. But the other thing is, clearly there was time to come back for the legislature to act before tax year 24. And then if probably the commissioner didn't have discretion on the withholding tables, we'd probably have to be acting, you know, earlier potentially. I don't know for sure. But the fact is, if, let's just say this didn't pass in June or July, I would need to go in then and adjust the withholding tables. And if I didn't probably have that discretion, we might have to do things differently. But that is clearly spelled out for the commissioner to be able to do that.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Commissioner. And based off of this entire scenario, knowing that mistakes happen, I appreciate what you and your department has done, having asterisks on the website saying, you know, this is pending the intent of the legislature, covering your bases, making sure that you're following the law, not the intent of the law. I've got some real issues with what MMB has done here, just evaporating $350 million off of our books, pretending it's not there because the intent is that it won't be there. Like, it needs to be cooked into the books if it's on the recipe. We passed the law. We didn't pass the intent. We're here today to fix the law with the intent. That's the issue that I'm having here today. So I appreciate what your department has done. I do not appreciate what MMB has done.
Further discussion to the A2 amendment, Representative Anderson.
Thank you. It's been a very interesting discussion because we're talking about timeless. It's the first day of session, and I'm glad we're doing this, and I support the provisions in here, including the fourth one that's missing out of here. But the fact is that the fourth one that's missing is the one that's actually timely. And we have very clearly stated that we don't, today, on the 12th of February, have to fix the standard deduction because you have discretion on the tables and it's for something for a future year. The one that's timely is the one that's being ignored here. Someone mentioned that there were maybe 15% of taxpayers that have filed taxes, but I would bet that 99% of them are individual returns because businesses can't even start, right? Okay.
Most of them.
Right. 99%, I would bet. Yeah, businesses can't even start until February, even start looking at their stuff. And so the longer we delay this, you're guaranteeing that businesses are going to have to, that fall under this, are going to have to amend their returns. Whereas if we included this right now as part of the tax provision, you would save all these companies that headache. And it is very, as Representative Robbins pointed out, it's a very expensive thing to amend tax returns. And it's happened to a lot of companies over the last several years because of things that have been going on, many in the state of Minnesota, but also some of the federal stuff. And so the timely issue is the issue that is not here that we're ignoring. We could add it to here right now. We could pass it. This will probably be on the floor by the end of the week, is my guess, and long before the tax season really gets going for businesses. Instead, we're going to do, I suspect, the opposite. So I just, and Commissioner, you sort of nodded and said, yes, businesses have not filed the tax returns, correct? Commissioner?
Yeah.
Commissioner Marquardt.
And Representative, what I said, that a large percent are individual. And I checked today from our corporate division to see, have businesses filed? Yes, they have, and they would need to amend. So it's not a huge number at this point, but they have, And most right now are individual returns.
Representative Anderson.
So to my point, thank you, Commissioner. I don't know where this is. I don't know the logic of throwing this in, of going back on our word, but we are doing this all backwards. And we're just, by not including something that this committee, bipartisan, promised would go into the fixed tax bill, by not doing that and maybe doing that in April or something, we're going back on our word. And we're causing a huge problem for these companies that are going to have to potentially amend their return should this happen. So it's a just bad policy, and it's and that's it. Thanks.
Returning to Lee Davids.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I think Representative Anderson really hit it on the head here, because if we did this now, if we got it done now, there's going to be a lot fewer amended returns that need to be done. So we're not making any sense here whatsoever. This should be done now. We should get it done. And there's a lot of businesses that haven't filed, if any have filed, not very many. We could take care of this right now, put it in statute. And so I would think we'd save the department a lot of headaches, because every day we wait, there'd be more amended returns that need to be done. That being said, Mr. Chair, we haven't seen the last of this, but I think Mrs. Blakesley was correct. Today is not the day, so I'm going to withdraw the amendment, but we will be seeing it again. And hopefully in the meantime, we can work on this, because why would we make all these businesses have to do amended returns on something that everybody is agreeing to? I don't quite understand it, but so, Mr. Chair, I withdraw the A2 amendment.
Lee Davids withdraws the A2 amendment. Back to member discussion on the DE3 amendment as amended by the A1 amendment. All right. Commissioner Marquardt.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. And first of all, thank you so much for having a hearing so quickly on this. I also wanted to go on the record that I do, the department also supports and the administration supports the tribal nation adjustment on the housing aid and also the Beltrami County local sales tax fix. So those we do support. So thank you again.
Thank you, Commissioner Marquardt. Any further comments, Chair Gomez?
Just want to thank the committee members for the good discussion today. It's good to be back in taxes with you all. And, you know, I look forward to us continuing this conversation and getting these corrections done. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. All right. With that, Chair Gomez renews her motion to move the DE3 amendment as amended. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? The motion carries. All right. And now Chair Gomez renews her motion that House File 2757, as amended, be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. All those opposed? The motion is adopted, and House File 2757, as amended, is re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. All right, members. Our next hearing of the Taxes Committee will be Thursday, February 15th, so there is no meeting tomorrow or Wednesday. On the 15th, we're going to be discussing the taxes provisions in the 2023 tax bill. And with that, members, we are adjourned.